Spot. Driving. No purchase necessary.
The following is a live show streaming from two radio show producers / sports fans. Ray Atkinson and Josh Hall have one mission: to gain your attention. This is the Baltimore Sports Free For All.
So it has been 1 week of Orioles baseball, and people are ready to jump off the Bay Bridge.
Or if we had to do a lesser extent, they're ready to jump from their two-story balcony.
Maybe.
Yeah, just to sprain their ankle.
Yeah, they could do that as well.
Yeah, folks, get away from the ledge. It's 1 week of baseball. It was only 3-3. Just relax.
Pick a better spot. A fall like this won't kill me. I'm counting on it.
How about just fall down one short flight of stairs? Maybe stub a toe. Maybe do that.
Falling down a flight of stairs sounds worse than falling off a two-story balcony.
That is very true. Yeah.
I feel like there's more of a risk of injury of falling down the stairs than going off a two-story balcony.
Wasn't there a story, now that we're relating to falling down steps or stairs, wasn't there a story in AAA Norfolk years ago where Brian Roberts slipped and fell down some stairs?
Oh, my goodness.
Right before he was about to come back from injury to the Baltimore Orioles.
I was producing a show that night for a local radio station, and we were looking at this like, oh my God, what happened? Brian Roberts just fell down the stairs.
Everybody was freaking out.
Everybody flipped out like right there. It was like a live Twitter feed right on our radio station, and we were just looking at it like thinking to ourselves, oh my goodness, if that actually really did happen and he hurt himself falling down the stairs the night before he's supposed to come back from his long-term recovery from injury.
Yeah, Brian Roberts, typical Brian Roberts, falling downstairs, breaking his bones, brittle Brian, then caramel brittle, peanut brittle.
Those same people were crying for Peter Angelos to sign the guy. So they sign the guy, and then he gets hurt, and it's like, okay, well, yeah, Brian Roberts, what a bum. We shouldn't have signed him anyway. You were kind of railing for it. Gotta sign him or he goes to the Yankees. Well, he did
just for a short period of
time. A very short period of time. Not even a cup of coffee. That was more of a shot of coffee.
Yeah, speaking of which, the New York Yankees are in town this week. Yeah.
Yay.
And they're in last place, so that's good.
Oh, yay.
Yeah, as of this podcast.
That's not a sarcastic yay, but yeah. Did you see the Yankees and Red Sox game that went almost 7 hours?
It feels like every game they play goes for 7 hours. There's just something about it. Like, look, can't you just be like every other team that plays against each other and just go 2.5 to 3 hours?
I feel so sorry for that production crew.
Is it that nostalgic that you have to have the massive stare downs and, you know, just play baseball? Jeez. You don't see Ravens Steelers games go on that long.
Well, that's because it's football, and football's a little different. It has a clock.
Exactly.
All right, well, we're talking Orioles baseball, as you all can tell. Let me see. What else is on the docket for today? Yes, there was a new champion at Augusta this past week.
A young new champion.
A very young new champion, and also tied a record that was set by one Eldrick Woods way back in the day.
Yeah, at the same exact age, too, at 21 years of age. So, yeah, we're going to be talking about Jordan Spieth, the 2015 Masters in Augusta, Georgia. And also, we're going to be having a little discussion here about, is there a trending youth movement in professional golf? Me and Ray believe so. We'll be talking about that. Also,
yes,
like every other show, we're going to have our two-minute rants. Mine is going to be about coming close to achieving your goals and then just quitting on it to take a promotion somewhere else. But then again, hey, whatever. That's your choice.
Yes, and also we have a special announcement for our fans to listen to, so stay tuned.
Yep, absolutely. We're going to be doing that shortly. But Ray, what is the name of this show?
This is the Baltimore Sports Free For All.
Which you can find on
SFMSports.net. Our Facebook page is the Baltimore Sports Free For All Podcast. Josh, to Twitter,
at BSportsFree, the number 4 all. You can retweet us, follow us, or favorite anything that we post on the Twitter, which is trending worldwide every single day.
Don't ever say that again.
I know. The Twitter.
Put an ER at the end, not an A.
All right,
ever do that again. You're not
on Twitter.
You're not cool.
Okay.
You're not a baller. Do not pass go. Do not collect $200. Go directly to jail.
Did you just rhyme a little bit right there?
Did I?
You did a little bit.
Okay, I wasn't even paying attention.
You're a baller. You're not a baller. Do not pass go. Do not collect $200. It kind of rhymes. I mean,
all right. Well, I'm not doing a see what I did there because I didn't see what I did there.
Also, be sure to check us out on our new audio homes, or actually one of our longtime homes on Audio Boom. Also follow us on Stitcher and Spreaker, some of the best podcasting pages you can find on the World Wide Web today. And also be sure to go on Google or Blogger or both, whichever, and check out the Sunday Night Sports Delight, which is now over the next several months going to be going over the AL East Week in Review. And we reviewed all five teams in the American League East in week one and how they did. And as of this podcast, here are your standings. The Red Sox and Blue Jays tied for first. Orioles, Rays tied for third. Yankees are dead last. So, yeah, I mean, yeah, it's disappointing if you're an Orioles fan, but at the same time, anytime the New York Yankees are in last place, it's a good day,
right?
I guess
you can't hate it too much, but at the same time, maybe
it's one week.
Maybe the new New York Yankees could be the Toronto Blue Jays. There's already some bad blood brewing there. I mean, Josh Donaldson's now on the Blue Jays.
Yeah, I think they're going to let that go. They're going to make it like Frozen and let it go.
Are you kidding me? You see how long grudges last in baseball? How long did Mike Piazza and Roger Clemens hate each other?
I think they still hate each other. I don't think that's ever going to
go. They very much, I think, still hate each other. And Roger Clemens, Andy Pettit, Roger Clemens is not going to misremember his little rivalry he had with Mike Piazza. And cue up to Roger Clemens for coining the term misremember. I've never heard that term before in my life. And then all of a sudden he says he misremembers. I'm like, is that even a word? What's going on here?
Is that in the Webster's Dictionary now?
And now all of a sudden I'm seeing that on sports blogs everywhere of the word misremember. It's kind of an homage to one Roger Clemens in his little testimony before Congress. Seems like those were for eons ago, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Remember when Congress would constantly get involved in baseball?
Yep, you remember the Roger Clemens trials going on with performance-enhancing drugs, and of course he had the famed Texas attorney, Rusty Hardin, who seems to be representing any major sports athlete nowadays.
Hey, he's the Lionel Hutz of sports athletes.
He's the Saul Goodman. Oh, wait, Saul Goodman actually wins cases. So, yeah, Lionel Hutz. Yeah, he is the Lionel Hutz of sports athletes. There.
Sure, Marge. Yeah. Was.
Was.
Trying to get my Phil Hartman voice on right there.
Yeah.
I'm not doing too good of a job right now.
Yeah.
Give me a few minutes. I can change that.
Yeah. Well, of course, we'll go down the end of the show there. But speaking of baseball, anything that isn't really attorney-related, performance-enhancing drug-related, unless you want to go to the game live and find a player and say, oh, I bet he's on something there. Look how big his arms are. Well,
doesn't necessarily have to be big arms, though. I remember Brian Roberts was on the stuff.
Yeah, that is very true. But I'm talking about attending a Major League Baseball game live. And over the course of the week, your support and your favoritism of our Twitter page and Facebook page have been more than grateful. We thank you folks very much for that.
Thank you.
The video I posted, Ray, on Facebook, 2,500 plus views on Facebook. So that means 2,500 people, or maybe one person who just wanted to watch it 2,500 times.
I doubt it was somebody doing that. But you know, I could have shot
that
better.
That would be terrible obsession, right? If you were that obsessed with me to watch my video 2,500 times, I want to stay away from you a little bit. Like
I did. I mean, I could have gotten you a better quality video, by the way.
What's wrong with my MacBook?
I mean, I can get you better quality through a DSLR camera. I have fluorescent lighting that I can use. Maybe even put you in front of a green screen and say, hi, guys, this is Josh Hall here. I got a special announcement to make on the Baltimore Sports Free-for-All. We are giving away Orioles tickets once a month during the regular season.
You know, ever since you took that big production job there, buddy, you've went Hollywood on me just like that.
I've taught you how to properly wrap a cable.
Yeah, I know. But
I might even teach you how to solder a cable and how to build an actual cable and keep it to where it has a decent connection.
Maybe and solder a cable, too.
Yeah, maybe I can teach you how to do that. Eventually, I'll teach you how to drive a forklift.
That was not cool.
What do you mean that's not cool?
I know how to drive a forklift.
But do you know how to race a forklift like in Shenmue?
No, I don't.
Oh, come on.
I would not even dare to do that. That's
you don't want to race a forklift? I would love to race. That's on my bucket list, Josh. Yeah. That is on my bucket list. I want to get into a shipping yard, and I want to get around in a nice little big straightaway, and I want to have a five-man forklift race, make it happen. Whoever would make that happen? Anybody?
Yeah. Well, on the video, if you watch it, it's about well over 2 minutes long. I was basically stating how you can win four tickets to the upcoming April 24th game against the Boston Red Sox, which will be on a Friday night, 7:05 first pitch, section 76, seats 9 through 12. You're basically going to be sitting close to left field, home run territory if you're approaching an Adam Jones at bat. Maybe Steve Pierce launches one. Heck, maybe Chris Davis goes opposite field with a home run. He has the power to do so. Great, it's a great position to be in if you're at Oriole Park at Camden Yards. Now, here's the issue right now with the tickets, Ray. I sold them. No, I'm kidding. I didn't sell them.
What? No.
No. Stop,
I would have to call some type of authorities on you and have some false advertising, call the FTC, the Federal Trade Commission, on you and say, hey, I'm crying foul. This guy said he was giving away Orioles tickets, and then
this
he sold them.
This guy's a great big phony.
Hey, this guy's a great big phony.
No, here's the problem. We have a three-way tie for the tickets.
Three-way?
Three-way tie. Triple threat. Three people in front, the same impressions, same social media impressions, tied right
now. I'm going to call you a three-finger dirtbag, Josh, for that. I mean, that's low.
So basically what I'm saying, folks, there is no winner yet, but because we are a social media active podcast that posts on a whim when we have an announcement to make, we are prolonging the ticket giveaway until this Friday, which would be April 17th.
Oh, I wanted to announce the winner now.
Well, we can announce it next week, but April 17th, we are going to continue the contest until we have a clear-cut winner. It's like WrestleMania 96 with Shawn Michaels and Bret Hart, the Iron Man match. It can't go to a draw. There has to be a winner.
Yeah, and maybe it's the guy who doesn't sell the leg sell the injured leg.
Yeah, maybe that guy to sell the injured leg to his friends and tell them, oh, hey, like them on Facebook, like them on Twitter, yeah. Follow the Baltimore Sports Free-for-All, because then, yeah, I can take you guys with me.
Yeah, you're a three-finger dirtbag, Josh.
Why? Because there's a tie? I'm sorry.
Yes, how could you not foresee this, that there was going to be a tie before this week's episode of the Baltimore Sports Free-for-All?
Well, luckily the game is not this Friday, but next Friday, so we still have time to spare.
I know that, but you gotta, I mean, there are people who want to take off work, Josh.
These things happen, Ray. These things happen. Well, you're
this
telling
is
me
a disaster.
You're telling me a week in advance is not enough time to call out of work?
No!
It's a 7:05 game. How many people are going to be working at 7:05 on a Friday?
A lot of people work at 7:05 on a Friday. They're called bartenders.
I do 7:05 on a Friday.
Yeah, you do too.
Yeah, I know.
So you know exactly firsthand, first well, exactly what it is like to work on Friday at 7:05. How you got to be like, oh, I want to go to the Oriole game. Oh, I got to work. Yeah, how dare I?
You got some jobs at 7:05 on a Friday night.
Yeah, during the actual Oriole game, doing the actual Oriole radio broadcast.
Well, there you go. Now you know.
I couldn't go to a single damn game. But I had to run them all on the radio.
But you were there in spirit, Ray. You were there in spirit.
Well, I mean, my voice could have been there because for a brief moment, I could actually talk on the loudspeaker because during my Net Notify for the home of the Orioles at the time I was working for, I could actually pot up the mic and speak on it like, hello, Camden Yards. This is the voice of God. You will bow before me.
Well,
Marty Cordova was the greatest player to ever live.
He was the greatest player to ever go into a sun tanning place and burn himself for way too long. God, he had like a crisp on his face turn that year. Yep, 2002 Orioles was my favorite losingest team of all, but
I hate the word winningest. I hate the word losingest even more.
All right, well,
it just seems so lazy of a word.
Well, instead of being there in spirit, you can actually be there live Friday, April 24th, 7:05 pitch start against the Boston Red Sox at Oriole Park at Camden Yards. We are prolonging this contest until this Friday. Same rules apply. Get your friends to follow our Facebook page. Get your friends to follow our Twitter page, and you could win left field tickets, close left field tickets, section 76, seats 9 through 12 for this upcoming Orioles-Red Sox game. Folks,
you had to think about that for a second, didn't you?
Do not pass this. Yeah, I did have to think about it because I got to tell the people what they're missing. Sometimes when you're slow and precise and tell them how sweet things are, because if you say, oh, hey, I like your haircut, you know, like really fast, people sometimes miss that and like, huh, what'd you say? But if you're like, hey, you got a nice haircut. Oh, thank you. So, section 76, seats 9 through 12, April 24th, Friday night against the Boston Red Sox. Drown out the red, bring in the orange, participate in the Baltimore Sports Free-for-All, and you and three other friends can go to a ball game and represent Baltimore at its very finest.
This is the Baltimore Sports Free-for-All.
And speaking of Baltimore and speaking at its finest, you really can't say the Baltimore Orioles are at their finest, but they're not exactly at their worst. Come to think of it, just, you know, in short terms, they're at the middle ground right now. They're at 500, but people are flipping out about it.
Why?
I guess people wanted 4 or 5 wins from the first week of the MLB season. They could have, you know, they could have had 4 wins.
You know, I kind of sounded like Danny Trejo in that Brady Bunch Snickers commercial where he's like, why?
Yeah, why? Yeah.
It's like, Marsha, eat a Snickers.
Yeah, what did he say? What did he say in that commercial? Peter hit me with the nose.
Peter hit me in the nose with a football again. Now I can't go to the dance.
That kind of remind me of Travis Snyder, like he hit the ball over my head in right field against me on Sunday.
He is a really big meanie.
He's a big meanie, but yeah, we're going to be reviewing the first week of Baltimore Orioles baseball. And, of course, you didn't need to know the record in the first week, 3-3. They took 2 out of 3 against the Tampa Bay Rays, which was promising going into opening weekend.
On the road, by the way.
Exactly.
And it's funny because you had the opening day crowd at Tampa Bay, and they're gone.
Yep, exactly.
They all went back to their retirement homes.
And also, taking 2 out of 3 on the road against the Tampa Bay Rays and heading to Oriole Park at Camden Yards, even the third game, the loss, which unfortunately came at the hands of Miguel Gonzalez, who just looked like the tough luck pitcher, that guy who would just put in some solid outings as your starter and just could not get any run support, zero run support.
That sounds like Jeremy Guthrie sans Baltimore Oriole days.
Yeah, like mid-2000s, 2007, 2008, right around
there. No, it was 2007 was when he first came up with the Orioles, and then it was after that, I think around like 2010, 2011 was when he was lacking seriously in run support, where you're just thinking to yourself, can anybody score for this guy? I mean, that just really gave rise to my debate about wins and losses for a pitcher being the most overrated stat in not only baseball, but all of sports. People put so much stock into it when they don't even look at the guy's run support and see his ERA and his whip and say, oh, well, he's actually a pretty decent pitcher. He just doesn't get any runs scored for him.
Yeah, well, we could talk about how not so decent the Orioles' pitching was in the first week, but let's go to their hitting, though. I got to admit, though, in terms of power hitting, I really don't think Baltimore fans are missing Nelson Cruz at the moment.
No, not really, considering – well, I mean, they always are going to miss Nelson Cruz because they want to shout Cruz and see Cruz missile and everything else that came cute with Nelson Cruz's home run power that he had last year. And so, yeah, I mean, people do miss Nelson Cruz. But in terms of the offensive output that the Orioles have had so far this season, yeah, I guess they can do pretty well without him. Although some may argue, though, that in that 10-7 loss where Jose Bautista hit that 2-run home run, Nelson Cruz could have came back and hit a grand slam in that game as well and could have put him over 11-10 on the Blue Jays. So they could say, yeah, we don't have Nelson Cruz. We could have won that game when they scored 10 runs. Maybe.
Yeah, forgetting the fact that it was Jose Bautista that hit the home run, forgetting the fact that Jose Bautista is a guy that hits 40-50 home run. People forget that the Toronto Blue Jays, when they are at their best, when they are at their healthiest, actually have a very deadly hitting lineup.
Yes, they do, but considering the fact that they spent nearly everything and have everything out of the golden bucket of money that they've had, and they still haven't produced a World Series contender, maybe you could say that buying free agents in baseball isn't what it's all cracked up to be.
Well, speaking of free agents or players that were acquired via trade for the Baltimore Orioles, one of the hottest hitters for the Baltimore Orioles in terms of just offensive output was newly acquired right fielder Travis Snyder, who had a solid week in week one, going 7-for-18 with a 389 batting average, a 522 on-base percentage, 1 home run, 6 RBIs, 1 double. Not a bad week if you're Travis Snyder offensively.
No, not a bad week at all for one Travis Snyder. Not a bad week for, Jonathan Scope. I mean, the guy's guy's stock is kind of rising right there. He hit a grand slam home run. A friend of mine was about a seat away from catching it.
Yeah, Jonathan Scope, we have to talk about this young man here real quick, the 23-year-old second baseman out of the Netherlands Antilles, a guy who many Orioles fans projected that was going to be the surprise prospect of the minor league system. And, of course, Jonathan Scope last season, not so much a productive hitter batting average-wise, but with the home runs that came along late in the season, with the improved defense, which I thought was his greatest attribute, that improved in August and September, made his value skyrocket. And the fact that Jonathan Scope, in his first week of MLB action in 2015, hit .286 with a .333 on-base percentage, two home runs, one being a grand slam, Ray, on the Saturday matchup against the Toronto Blue Jays, five RBIs, and I think there are going to be great expectations for this young man going into 2015.
Yeah, and with the way that they're trying to find the next great infielder that could back up Machado and J.J. Hardy. J.J. Hardy could use him back a little bit, but the defense, that's been kind of a little bit sketchy so far, but that's thanks to one Travis Snyder, who you could say, hey, opening day, he made a great outfield assist, and then, but people are quick to forget that because in pro sports, it's what have you done for me lately?
People, believe me, Ray, if you went on social media, Baltimore Orioles fans everywhere were ready for Travis Snyder to slip.
Well, Nick Markakis, he could have made that catch. He could have made that catch in right there. We shouldn't have got rid of him. He has some really bad, I mean, he had some neck problems, and he was a little power numbers were down. But at the same time, I think that he could have been a good contributor to this ball club, hon.
All right, .991 fielding percentage, two errors. By the way, only one error was made by a position player, Travis Snyder, who just happens to be the scapegoat when it comes to defensive fielding for the Baltimore Orioles. You know who the other error was? Bud Norris. But we'll get to him in a little bit. But speaking of other players that impressed me offensively, Alejandro Deaza was solid in his first week of MLB action, .304 batting.
You know what? I want to say his name a little bit differently. You know how in WCW days it was the LWO, the Latino World Order?
Yeah.
They'd always go, La Raza. I want to say it like
Deaza.
I want to say it. No. You got to do it like this. You got to go Alejandro Deaza.
I'm going to let you do that because I don't have that roll off the tip of my tongue.
Well, there's no double R in Deaza. Mm-hmm. You just got to be like Deaza.
Well, seven for 23, Deaza went, scored six runs, two home runs, three runs driven in. Really surprising me out of left field this year, which seems to me that Steve Pierce is sort of losing favoritism in that position. Yep, we're going right back to the Steve Pierce harping, even though he had two home runs in the first two games of the season. Steve Pierce hitting .217 as of this podcast out of the first week. But then again, Ray, it was the first week, and who knows? Steve Pierce may rebound the next couple weeks and hit some home runs, hit some doubles, and contribute.
Hey, who knows? Matt Wieters was hitting well over .300 last year before. What happened?
Yeah, and speaking of Matt Wieters, before we get to pitching and everything else that fell into place for the Baltimore Orioles, latest news reports on Matt Wieters state that he may not be ready until middle May. So that injury, that setback... Yep, if you are fans of Caleb Joseph and Ryan LaVarnway as your switching catchers,
I'll stick with Joseph. Just say Caleb Joseph here.
Well, you're gonna have to go Ryan LaVarnway too because
eventually, Caleb Joseph should be your main priority before Wieters gets back, which it was around May when Wieters got hurt last year. So it could be a full year that he's been sitting out.
I am a fan of Caleb Joseph's defense. I think defensively he's solid. Hitting, yeah, he could improve. But then again, this is a guy going into his second MLB season. And that's crazy saying that because you wouldn't think of, at his age, you wouldn't think of him as a second-year ball player because this guy was a career minor leaguer just waiting to get called up. And you have Matt Wieters standing there over the helm, multiple-time All-Star, multiple-time Gold Glover Matt Wieters standing over the helm, holding down that position. So now you have Caleb Joseph coming out there and proving himself. And think about this interesting scenario here, Ray. You have Matt Wieters possibly coming back in May. Who knows? Also, good news, J.J. Hardy is set to return soon. So the shortstop tandem of Everett Cabrera, Ryan Flaherty, anybody else that's willing to play that position, well, J.J. Hardy's ready to take his throne back. So at least there's good news there.
Nice throne reference there, considering what week it's been.
Yeah, it's a throne kind of week here at the Baltimore Sports Free For All and everywhere else too.
I mean, I gotta admit that after this podcast, I might have to sit on my throne.
Exactly, I may have to go home and sit on my throne and relax and catch up on some baseball.
Your throne is a beanbag chair. Don't lie to me.
Beanbag chairs are awesome.
They are awesome. I love beanbag chairs. Are you kidding me?
Those are the most comfiest places you can go is the beanbag chair.
Just don't have like a nail or a pin next to it, or else you're going to have a nice little mess on your hands with all the beans spilling everywhere.
You're going to need a vacuum cleaner, ladies and gentlemen.
Is that where the phrase spill the beans comes from, considering that you don't really spill a can of beans?
And are they really beans coming out of the beanbag chair?
They're little like pellets, like little synthetic pellets that you use.
And speaking of questions to the universe that may never be answered, will Ubaldo Jimenez win 32-33 games this year after the first start of the season?
No.
Probably not.
No.
But you do have to admit, though, on the Saturday start against the Toronto Blue Jays, Ubaldo Jimenez looked lethal.
Cy Young. No, that wouldn't go with that either.
But 7 scoreless innings, 1 walk allowed, 1 hit allowed, 8 strikeouts recorded. That's pretty filthy there, if I had to coin a phrase from you.
Hey, have I ever used the word filthy on the Baltimore Sports Free For All?
Just a couple times.
Maybe just a couple of times, considering that used to be like my thing before everybody else started using it, and I was still a young journeyman high schooler coming out in the woodwork.
Well, reclaim your throne. Come on.
Reclaim my throne. Do you not know?
Reclaim your filthy throne, Ray. I mean, can't even say that right.
The filthy throne? No, I can't. You can do that.
Nah, there you go. Reclaim your filthy throne.
All right. Well, in the game of filthy thrones, you either win or you die, I guess.
Yeah, and so
far, I couldn't come up with anything more creative than that.
Yeah, so far, Ubaldo Jimenez hasn't died yet on the field.
Well, I would hope not.
Metaphorically speaking.
I would hope metaphorically speaking. What is wrong with you, Josh Hall?
But if you're looking at the Baltimore Orioles statistics right now, Ubaldo Jimenez is your top pitcher in wins and ERA. Yes, it is the first week of the MLB season, but considering how much the Orioles shelled out for this guy in the 2014 offseason, 4 years, $50 million, and considering that he was left off the starting rotation towards the middle year.
And considering that Irvin Santana is suspended for 50 games.
Yeah, exactly. So contracts are not all that, they are not all that's cracked up to be.
I don't see the comparisons being posted on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram between Irvin Santana and Ubaldo Jimenez. Basically, anything that Ubaldo Jimenez does right now is better than Irvin Santana, considering the fact that Irvin Santana is sitting on his ass.
Yeah, and if you had to look at the Baltimore Orioles in general, as far as starting pitching goes, Ubaldo looked really good. Miguel Gonzalez, even in his losing start this past Wednesday against the Tampa Bay Rays, he looked solid, even though he gave up 5 walks, still had 5 strikeouts, only gave up 1 earned run, could have been a lot worse. Had a 1.59 earned run average to close out the week. So could Miguel Gonzalez be that hard luck pitcher in the starting rotation? Well, hopefully not, considering that the Orioles had 11 home runs in the first week of MLB action.
Oh boy, continuing that trend of being the big hitters in the MLB?
Yeah, and not to mention that the Orioles are heavily known in the past several years under Buck Showalter to knock the ball out of Camden Yards in the months of May, June, July, and August. It's safe to say that if you're a starting pitcher for the Baltimore Orioles and your name is Ubaldo Jimenez, Miguel Gonzalez, or even our ace, Chris Tillman. Yeah, even though Chris Tillman had a solid start. It's had a solid start the first game of the year and a not-so-solid start the Sunday game.
Well, to tell you the truth, though, only 2 of those runs were earned.
Yeah, so, yeah, Chris Tillman, of course, if you were listening to our last show, had a solid start against the Tampa Bay Rays. Only 1 earned them on Monday game, 6 2/3 innings. The 1 home run gave up to Evan Longoria. The Sunday game against the Toronto Blue Jays was an entirely different story for Chris Tillman. Couldn't even get out of the 4th inning. ERA, as it stands right now, is a 3.8, 1 win, 1 loss to the stat sheet. So you could say wins and losses are the most overrated stat in baseball. Well, of course, Ray says that all the time. But the 3.86 earned run average, I could take that from Chris Tillman, but he needs to do better.
I'll just correct that, though. I don't say most overrated stat in baseball, overrated stat in sports.
Well, there you go.
Overall, period.
So you're going to say Joe Flacco's overrated because he has a good win-loss?
No, I said wins and losses for a pitcher.
Oh, wins and losses for a pitcher. Okay.
Yeah, don't
put words in your mouth.
Don't put words in my mouth and don't, you know, edit my highlights, okay? Because what I said is that wins and losses for a pitcher is the most overrated stat in sports.
Yep.
Keywords, wins and losses, pitcher.
All right. And looking at other starters in the rotation, Wei-Yen Chen, who's making a start this week against the New York Yankees, Bud Norris didn't have a very good opening day. We'll get to him in a little bit.
Well, you are really stewing on this, aren't you?
I am stewing on this.
You're really trying to throw it right back in my face like a stewing pile. But
I'm going to give you credit on one player, though, when we come to our most awesome Oriole of the week, most crappy Oriole of the week. So, but let's talk on a serious note here. The long relief pitching, Brad Brock, Kevin Gausman, Wesley Wright, these guys did not have a great week in Major League Baseball, especially against the Rays, against the Blue Jays.
Boy, they were really on to something, though, when they put Ubaldo in the rotation over Gausman, didn't they?
You know, it saddens me when you say that because I actually believe it, because Kevin Gausman, after the postseason last year, I slated him to be in the starting rotation in 2015. Kevin Gausman is still a top priority for the Baltimore Orioles as a prospect because they see something in him that he could be a solid starting pitcher along with Dylan Bundy, along with Hunter Harvey, Mike Wright. These guys can be the next echelon of starting pitchers for the Orioles for the next 10 years. But considering the fact that Kevin Gausman, as of this podcast, 3 2/3 innings pitch, 7.36 earned run average, it's not looking good for the young man there.
Maybe he, but it's a young season, of course.
Yeah, it is.
When do you stop saying that it's a young season? That is the big question about
middle of May.
If you can
June.
Turn it around or can you not?
June. Yeah. So what surprised you about this week and what disappointed you about this week?
The Orioles' home run power continues. When you see that that they're still hitting the ball and hitting the ball well out of the yard, it's quite a fact to behold. My biggest disappointment, though, has been the starting pitching, and it's been the bigger disappointment that I've seen because these guys, they're giving you run support. They're giving you – they're socking dingers.
They are.
But you got to deliver on your end. I mean, those guys are delivering on their end. You got to deliver on your end. You can't Jekyll and Hyde in baseball. You have to be consistent throughout. It is a marathon, not a sprint, as it's said ad nauseum, but it is 100% true. Yes.
Considering that Manny Machado in the 2012 season was a doubles hitting machine, considering in 2013 made the all-star roster in the American League, was a doubles hitting machine, great field. Manny Machado is still great in fielding, nothing wrong there, but Manny Machado just didn't look like the Manny Machado of old. I don't want to say he had the case of the Nick Markakis's where he has these injuries as a player. I hope that's not the case with Manny Machado. He's still young. He can still contribute to the Baltimore Orioles. Still a young season, and we still have many more weeks to cover for the Baltimore Orioles. But, Ray, let's get to our most awesome Oriole of the week. And I'm going to say this to praise your boy, center fielder, number 10. You can find him on Twitter at SimplyAJ10. Adam Jones, 8 for 21 in the week. In the first week of MLB action, 8 for 21, 381 batting average, 6 runs scored, 2 home runs, 2 doubles, 7 runs driven in. And oh yeah, here's an interesting stat, 1 strikeout, 1 strikeout in 21 at-bats. If this guy can continue on this pace, he's going to be MVP, no question about it. Adam Jones, our most awesome Oriole. Ray, do you agree?
I would have to agree a little bit with that. I mean, I could also throw in Jonathan Scope. I could throw in Alejandro Deaza. I can even throw in Ubaldo Jimenez.
One strikeout.
Yeah, but Adam Jones, one strikeout. You're saying, yes, he can do it. Even though he was the best two-strike hitter in baseball a couple of years ago, despite the fact that everyone was saying, oh, he always swings at that outside curve. Well, like he was the best two-strike hitter. I mean, you make your adjustments. You do what you got to do. But at the same time, when you're that good, they're really – isn't that much adjusting needed, considering the fact that Adam Jones has been one of the better hitters in the league the last couple of years. Adam Jones this week, though, one of the best hitters in the league again.
Most awesome Oriole, Adam Jones, your number 10 center fielder of the Baltimore Orioles. Now, I hate to do this, and we got to do it every week. Our most crappy Oriole, your boy, starting pitcher for the Baltimore Orioles, He wears number 25 in your programs, number 25 in your hearts, Bud Norris. Oh, Bud, where do I even start with this guy here? Friday, you were having high hopes after a 2 out of 3 series win over the Tampa Bay Rays. Bud Norris was the definition of a dumpster fire against the Toronto Blue Jays offense. 3 total innings pitched, 7 hits allowed, 8 earned runs, 1 walk, 1 strikeout, which surprised me, only 1 walk. He probably would have fared better if he walked more. He had a 24 earned run average, highest on the team so far. So far, early in the young MLB season.
All he's got to do is pitch 1 great outing, and it's back down to like 5.
Yeah, Bud Norris, your crappy Oriole of the week.
You can't even say it. You screwed it up.
Because he reeks of suckiness right now.
You can't save that. You screwed it up. You were wallowing on that this entire show. You were wallowing on that for the last couple of days. You're like, oh, the suckiest player of the week. Ha 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 ha. It's Bud Norris, your boy. Your boy, Bud Norris.
Ray Atkinson's boy.
Even though all I said was that he was my surprise all-star last year, you laugh in my face about it.
Yeah, I know.
And then I try to bring it back into you, just saying, see, I wasn't so crazy after all. And now you keep saying he's my boy. He's not my boy.
But
I did not spawn him. He is not my boy.
But do you concur that Bud Norris was the crappy Oriole of the week?
Crappy Oriole of the week.
Yes.
That is the key words.
Crappy Oriole of the week.
The Baltimore Sports Free For All.
It just cannot be April without the Masters at Augusta. Quite the classic, if I do say so myself. And I have to say, out of all the sports that I watch, I think golf is my favorite to watch in high definition because of all the green. It just looks so amazing on my television.
I think golf is much better watched if you have the day off and you're just kicking back and relaxing and eating a delicious pizza and enjoying some...
A delicious pizza?
Yeah.
What are you, pumping some little pizza place here?
No, I'm reminiscing a trip we had just recently in New Jersey.
Well, I like watching golf when I have a lot of people over. It's like a family gathering or a bunch of friends getting over, and all of them have a vested interest in golf. I don't like the one who you get at the table or at the couch, and they say, oh, golf is boring.
You're boring me to death.
All they're doing is hitting a ball.
Just hitting a ball in the woods. What's so impressive about that? Nothing. Well, other than the fact that you can take home, what, $1.8 million in earnings if you win the Masters?
Hey, the caddy gets 10%, right?
And a green jacket.
I want 10% of those.
I want the green jacket.
I could go either or, but the green jacket is illustrious. It's like, it's, okay, what's more illustrious, the green jacket or the Lombardi Trophy?
Lombardi Trophy.
Even though the person that gets the Lombardi Trophy is the team owner?
Yeah, that too. But then again, nobody really gets to keep the Lombardi Trophy in their hand. Well, if you're a player and an assistant coach, you can have it over for, what, 2-3 days, then you have to give it to the next teammate on the roster list. And the green jacket, this is what I heard about the green jacket. The player that wins the Masters and gets a green jacket can keep that jacket for a year, but they must give it back to that golf course's clubhouse following
that
time.
Everybody else was still wearing green jackets when they were giving it to a Jordan Spieth.
Well, they got it. Well, they have a closet there with all the jackets that everyone
that
has.
That means you must put it back on. I'm like, this is a rip. I mean, I won this jacket. That's my jacket.
That's my. I believe that's Mr. Gilmore's.
And you can count on me waiting for you in the parking lot.
If you are a first-time listener of the Baltimore Sports Free For All, do not listen. You will not listen to a golf segment without a Happy Gilmore reference.
I don't think you can listen to any like sports show that just talks regular sports without a Happy Gilmore reference when they refer to golf, because it's not so often that we talk about golf here on the Baltimore Sports Free For All. I mean, when you think about it, where is the closest golf course that pros play around in this area? Congressional?
Congressional and Bethesda.
Yeah, I would go with Congressional. I mean, I even got
that's where Rory McIlroy won one.
Yeah, I even got a chance to see sometime in the U.S. Open the practice round for players there. But at the same time, yeah, Congressional is pretty much the closest place where they can play. I would love to see a golf match at maybe Compass Point, maybe even Bay Hill. No, they wouldn't be at Bay Hills.
No
way it would be at Bay Hills. There's Bay Hill, but that's somewhere else. Yeah. Not in Arnold, Maryland.
Yeah, that, in the latest place that I lived in years ago, that would have just brought me back haunting memories, so yeah.
Yeah, haunting memories indeed of that place. Yeah. You and your golf course right next to you and you can walking distance.
Oh, no, the golf course was nice. Don't get me wrong. It was the living condition.
Now, when you lived there, did you even play one round of golf?
No, I got to walk around the course and just
took... But you never played one round of golf living there?
I only played one round of golf, but that was in, it was in Baltimore.
That's
was,
blasphemy, dude.
I know.
Complete blasphemy. How do you live on a golf course and not, be allowed to, play golf?
I know. I'm a three-fingered dirtbag.
You're a big three-fingered dirtbag.
I know.
That's terrible.
Terrible.
Oh, my goodness. Terrible. I wish our listeners could get that reference.
someday, three-fingered dirtbag will be a thing here at the Baltimore Sports.
The three-fingered dirtbag will be in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah. But getting to the 2015 Masters in Augusta, Georgia, let's just bring up a few names that were brought up before this event took place. Let's bring up a few names. Tiger Woods, was he mentioned during the week?
Of course he's always mentioned when it comes to golf. I mean, good grief. They want to talk about this guy even when he's doing calisthenics.
Bubba Watson, was he mentioned during the week?
I would say yes, but
Phil Mickelson.
For the wrong reasons, though.
Phil Mickelson, was he mentioned during the week?
And, he's always mentioned when it comes to talking about golf.
Rory McIlroy?
Yes, he was also mentioned.
All right. Dustin Johnson.
Did you say three names that were mentioned or five?
I'm on fifth one now.
Yeah, you're on fifth. I thought you said three.
Oh, well, I didn't. I guess the.
This
golf
is the Baltimore Sports Free for All.
Because you don't want to be a three finger dirtbag.
Exactly. That's what I'm doing here. But Dustin Johnson, you even heard about him. Now, answer this. Did you hear about Justin Rose at all?
No, I did not.
Did you hear about Jordan Spieth at all?
Bits and pieces here and there, hearsay.
Did you hear about, I don't know, Hideki Matsuyama?
That one, definitely not. Easy for you to say, by the way.
Well, those are three names that played very well at Augusta this past weekend. But let's start with the obvious, the winner, the 21-year-old Jordan Spieth, who had an 18 under par, shot 64 in the first round, 66 in the second round, 70 in the third round, fourth round, 70, took home $1.8 million and a green jacket for 1 year. Jordan Spieth, your Masters champion of 2015.
That just sounds so depressing, though. Your green jacket for 1 year.
Yeah, green jacket for 1 year.
1 year.
1 year.
Yeah. No suit, no jacket for you.
But that's an exclusive club, though. You can come back anytime and put the jacket on whenever they're giving out the jacket to somebody.
Okay, so I get to say, hey, I get to wear the jacket for a day.
Yeah.
I thought I won this damn thing.
Okay, green jacket for a year or Lombardi trophy for 3 days.
Green jacket for a year.
Oh, there you go. There you go. So, see, it's not all that bad, Ray.
I'm going with the green jacket and say, yeah, see this? I won this with the help of my caddy on my own.
All right.
And my swing coach.
So, Jordan Spieth, your 2015 Masters champion, 18 under par, took first place, just had a commanding lead in the later rounds. Phil Mickelson, easy for me to say. Phil Mickelson and Justin Rose tied for second, 14 under par each. And Justin Rose actually was giving Spieth a little scare there on the third day on the Saturday. And you and I were actually watching this event during that day. And we saw Rose make an excellent cut in one of the later holes. I believe it was the 17th or 18th hole where it kind of backed into the crowd a little bit. And everyone's like, uh-oh, is Rose going to lose? Is he going to lose his lead? Oh, no, he's not. Right back into it. So that was pretty cool to see there on television, on live HD. Looking at some other notables here, Dustin Johnson went 9 under par. Tiger Woods 5 under par, which makes you think it's not big enough to win the Masters, but at the same time, if he was at the, the Sunoco Open, maybe he would have won with that little line there, but
I don't know about that, considering that this pool of young talent coming up is
filthy.
Yes, very very nice, because it's a little bit of a side effect when you're one of the greatest golfers of all time in Tiger Woods. People watch you as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
When they eventually grow up, they will start playing you. And then you eventually have to know that the next generation is coming up, and you've given rise to that, and now you've got to compete with all these kids who idolized you as a kid are now playing against you as adults, and you've got to deal with that. How did Tiger Woods deal with that, by the way? He made some comments after the Masters by saying that, yeah, that course was a little soft nowadays. They didn't make it really soft. Because if you think about it, when Tiger Woods, in 1997, when he had a minus 18, he was ahead by 12 strokes to second place. It wasn't even close. when you had a bunch of guys at this past Masters who had, if you didn't have a score in the double digits in minus, yeah, you didn't really have that good of a day at Augusta. But yeah, Tiger Woods shot under five. Hurt his wrist, by the way, on Sunday, but that wouldn't have, he still wouldn't have won. And that's the other thing too, Tiger. You could say what you want about it playing soft. You didn't win this time though, did you?
No, but at the same time, he had one of his better outings in a tournament in recent memory, considering the fact that he dropped, and we've seen this drop over the past several months in the world rankings, dropping from the top 10 out of the top 100, and I guess this performance he had recently at Augusta, he will slowly climb back up the rankings. But you're mentioning this youth movement going on in professional golf. We can look at Jordan Spieth being the lead example there, but we can also look at a more accomplished example in Rory McIlroy, who has a couple majors under his belt. We can also look at the international sensation in Hideki Matsuyama, who had an 11 under par and is 23 years of age. And even though most people who are tuning into golf now don't think that it's too mainstream, but look at it this way, Ray. Would it be an over-exaggeration if I said 15 years ago I believed your average professional golfer was at least 38 to 40 years old?
No, I wouldn't say that's too far-fetched whatsoever, considering you looked at the pool that Tiger was going up against, and it was a bunch of guys that were pushing late 30s, early 40s.
Yeah, I mean, you looked at guys like Vijay Singh, Phil Mickelson, believe Ernie Els. You know, those were guys who were household names in terms of the tournaments they won and how much impact they had on their sport during that time. You know, Phil's still playing, Tiger's still playing, Ernie Els still playing every now and then. Vijay Singh, I haven't heard from in quite a while, though. Remember, you used to hear about him every weekend 10 years ago, and it just seemed like he fell off the face of the earth.
That it was about Vijay Singh. You also heard about John Daly, but also for the wrong reasons.
John Daly is the coolest golfer, period.
I don't know.
Greatest pants ever.
I like Bubba. I've come to terms with Bubba Watson, especially with the hovercraft golf cart that he had a couple years ago. Pretty neat. And the fact how unorthodox he was winning the Masters and everything else. Everybody's got these green jackets. Everybody's got their nice haircuts. Here comes long-haired Bubba Watson, and they're like, yep, I'll take my green jacket. Give me a brew.
Yeah, and when you're looking at this, the youth movement in professional golf right now, you have Jordan Spieth there, you have Rory McIlroy, Hideki Matsuyama, Ricky Fowler, another young gun as well, Dustin Johnson, 30-year-old Dustin Johnson. I know that's not relatively young in today's world of sports, but in the world of golf, 30 years old is still a baby. You're still a baby to these guys when you hit the clubhouse. So let me ask you this. Are we just seeing a temporary phase here with the young golfers being impressive at the Masters in Augusta, and maybe they'll just fall off the next couple tournaments? Or are we going to see a constant thing here every weekend with these young guys, you know, leading the pack?
Maybe for the next 10 years you could see a constant thing, because these are all the people who grew up watching Tiger and they want to get into the sport and become like Tiger.
I mean, it's kind of like the, if we're going to switch sports here for a second, it's kind of like the baseball effect. When you had Cal Ripken Jr. Revolutionizing the position of shortstop, and you had, say, a young guy like Derek Jeter come through the ranks of the New York Yankees and looked up to Cal Ripken and said, you know what, I want to play just like Cal, and I want to be that pioneer of the game. I want to be the face of my team, face of the sport. And I guess a lot of these guys are sort of taken after a young Tiger Woods from 1997, Spieth being the latest example there. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, you could say that in the now, as of right now, being instantaneous and instant gratification, because everybody wants to see that next version of Tiger Woods.
The next big thing.
The next big thing, because everybody's tired of Tiger Woods after he did his major, major heel turn in 2010, cheating on his girlfriend in the Escalade and getting hit with a 5-iron and everything else that was going on.
Well, it was his wife, but
in his life.
Yeah.
I mean, he cheated on his wife. Did I say girlfriend? Yes,
yeah,
I did. Okay.
He had
a side piece. Let's just say it that way. And he
more than one.
Many pieces. How about that?
It was ugly.
So it was Tiger who gets that heel turn that he had after just a tremendous performance at the U.S. Open on one ankle. And in 2010, it seems like this guy has fallen from grace. People just no longer idolize the guy like they used to, and saying, oh, he'll never get Jack Nicklaus now. He's never going to catch Jack. Well, Maybe not, maybe so, maybe not, but everybody wants that next big thing now in golf because that's ultimately what sells golf to people is the individual stories, not so much as the whole, you know, crowd coming up. Everybody's talking about Tiger, Tiger, Tiger. Can you name somebody else that Tiger was going up against before Phil Mickelson?
All right, let me give you the five young golfers here before we close the show out. Okay, McIlroy, Spieth, Matsuyama, Fowler, Dustin Johnson. Who is the first to get to 10 majors? If they get there.
I don't think either of them get to 10 majors.
All right, close to 10 majors. Let's say close to 10 majors.
All right, how about, I guess I'll go with Spieth.
Really? You're going to go with the young gun?
Since he's got the head start and he's got the younger age.
McIlroy's got a couple under his belt, though. You can't deny him that.
Nah, maybe not.
Yeah, but, yep, Jordan Spieth, we're going to be keeping an eye on you for many weekends to come.
Keep an eye on us for our two-minute rants.
Ray, you go first, buddy.
All right. The opening day for the Baltimore Orioles. You would say that it was such an eventful, memorable occasion. It wasn't. Not at all. Unless you paid a ton of money this year to get into the yard, because at one point, standing room only tickets were $150. Plus, they changed the season ticket plans around to where opening day wasn't necessarily a part of the package anymore. So there were all kinds of crazy things going down on opening day. The worst part, though, not only was it just the fact that the Orioles were pretty much destroyed on opening day, but also the fact that it was misty and it was cold. It wasn't a very enjoyable experience at the yard. Now, if you were outside of the yard, drinking where it's a lot cheaper from the yard, or if you were around watching the game at home, you had a better day. Or maybe you were working that day. Maybe you were one of the few people in your office, because a lot of times on opening day, corporate offices are ghost towns because everybody's leaving for opening day. Yet, if you were working that day, you were pretty much better off working that day, making money, starting a new job, starting beginnings, or doing whatever you could, because you could be that one person to step up while everybody else stepped out for opening day and did not have a good time. Or did they? It all depends on who you ask and your perspective. I'll tell you this, though, if you were a person out there in the rain and in the cold and you spent a lot of money, my hat's off to you. You are a better person than I am. I cannot say that I would have gone to opening day this year. Not only because of the fact that, hey, it's not necessarily opening day, it was game four, it was the first home game of the Orioles season, but I'm going to say that I did not go because of price and because I knew the weather was going to be crappy. Maybe next year, Baltimore, maybe next year, we'll get it right.
Yeah, me plus cold plus rainy equals miserable, even if it is opening day. I will say this, if it's 70 degrees and sunny and it's just a nice spring day, you would see me in downtown Baltimore for opening day, but, you know, I guess this just comes with the territory as you get older, you start to settle down a little bit more. But then again, some people just never grow up, but hey, that's why we love you guys in the first place. One team that I don't really love in particular, or maybe a team that I lack respect for, is the Kentucky Wildcats men's basketball team. It's not so much what they accomplished in the past with the likes of Adolph Rupp as the head coach and everything else beyond that, but it has more to do with the current culture that is set in place in Kentucky. More so of a John Calipari culture. Oh, you know, the one where it invites the four-star, five-star recruits. Hey, come down to Kentucky. You'll get noticed. You'll be on national television. And, oh yeah, by the way, we'll only need you for 1 year. So, spend 1 year there. Go to the pros. Hey, thank you for everything you contributed to. Kentucky had one of the greatest runs I've seen of a Division I men's basketball team in many years. 38-0. 38-0. Going into the Final Four matchup against Wisconsin. Now, you have to think, what kind of heart do the players have on that Kentucky men's basketball team? What kind of drive do they have? What kind of desire do they have to achieve the upper echelons of their respective sport? Well, apparently it wasn't enough at Kentucky, because as of this past week, seven players, majority of them starters, all going into the 2015 NBA draft. And you know what? Good for you guys. You're going after that dollar. But while you're making that contract in the NBA, which isn't really going to be guaranteed for long, ask yourselves this. Are you going to go to bed, sleep? Are you going to sleep well at night knowing that you had a chance at perfection and you blew it and you didn't even win a national title in the process? Are you going to sleep well at night knowing that, hey, you're going to make millions of dollars, but at the same time, you may never hold an NBA Finals title? Yeah, good for you guys. Good for you guys. Hashtag sarcasm.
Huh. Even though, yes, they are going to go on to the NBA and make the buck. I gotta say, do I play another year in college where I don't get paid, or I play in the NBA where I do get paid, and I've got the ability to go into the NBA, which is why I hate the one-and-done rule.
I just gotta say this real quick, though. I just have to put the quitter label on you because, you know, if you would have came back a year following that and said, okay, you know what I did last year, that would sting me. That would just sting me as a person if I came that close to achieving perfection and didn't get it. I would want to strive to try to get it one more time for as long as I could possibly do it. Now, if they try to do it again the following year and it didn't work out, okay, so be it. Go to the NBA. But if you're mostly a one-and-done player and you do that and then you quit, it just shows to me that you have a lack of drive, and I really don't know what an NBA scout would see in you in future terms of what you could provide for that team.
Or you do it because you're afraid to get hurt, and then if you do get hurt, your draft stock drops, obviously.
Yeah, well, it's too bad we can't have a 3-and-done player anymore, but I guess that's why we should be thankful we have a player like Melo Trimble who decides, you know what, I'll come back for one more year.
How about that for Melo Trimble? We salute you, sir. We salute the Baltimore Sports Free-for-All. We salute our listeners, so much so that we are giving away the Oriole tickets still. You've got until this Friday for the people that were in the three-way tie. You must keep your social engagements up, and let's see what happens here on next week on the Baltimore Sports Free-for-All. Yes, we'll be talking more Orioles. Hopefully, we'll be talking about Chris Davis having a golden sombrero right now, but hey, who knows? How about the fact that we talk about what does Andrew Miller do against his former ball club in the Baltimore Orioles? Is he 2014 Andrew Miller? We're going to be talking about a little bit NFL draft because, yeah, that's coming up.
It's coming up,
how
absolutely.
About that? See what our tax nightmares maybe we can talk about somewhat. And then let's see what else we can conjure up on the Baltimore Sports Free-for-All. It's April. Baseball is going on right now. There's no real big thing. Oh, maybe some NHL playoffs.
NHL and NBA playoffs are coming up.
So those are starting up real soon here. So here on the Baltimore Sports Free-for-All, another week is in the books. And what can I say? It's been a great show.
Absolutely. And also, folks, be sure to keep up with your social media sites, your Facebooks, your Twitters, and just be sure to keep checking up on the announcement. Keep checking in. Keep putting the word out. Keep spreading the word of the Baltimore Sports Free-for-All. And you may win those four tickets on Friday and break that dreaded three-way tie.
How about that? But until then, this is another edition of the Baltimore Sports Free-for-All. I am Ray Atkinson.
I am Josh Hall.
And we will see you all.
The Baltimore Sports Free-for-All.